And we are back. Episode number 71 of Black and a Half with Manny Martin and Silas Lindenstein. And I am Silas Lindenstein. Manny had to take off right after the recording for this episode. So it's just me this time. This episode is a very special episode. It was a live podcast recording at Laughs Comedy Club in Seattle, Washington. So it was great. We did a comedy show sort of beforehand. There's three of us that went up. Samantha Rund, who was a guest on the podcast portion of this, she performed. And we had a performance by Champagne Honeybee. It was actually a musical number. She was the musician for the night, and she debuted a comedy song, which you will hear in this podcast. We're just kind of going to insert it in this podcast right before her interview. So if it feels a little jarring, that is why. So we had Samantha on to talk about. She was in the 48-hour film project, film that we produced recently, called G period A period, or GA. She was in that. She was the lead female, one of the lead females in it. So she was there to talk about her experience with that. Thomas Nichols, a local Seattle comic, he was on to talk about his comic book, Just Us Cops. It's a great buddy cop comic book. It's really great. It's interesting. So listen to him talk about it, and then you can pick it up digitally, of course, online, download it, check it out. And then Champagne Honeybee was our third guest. So just three sort of quick guests. Not our normal format for guests. You know, we usually like to have that in-depth hour or plus to talk to them and get to know them. But, you know, we've had Samantha on before, so we've had that with her. But we do plan to get Thomas and Champagne on later episodes where it's just, you know, just them talking to us. And this episode, we do talk about the award. We did receive an award for the 48-hour film project. So now, two-time award-winning filmmakers. That's awesome. And thank you to the 48 judges or whomever made that decision. We do appreciate it a lot. We do have a decent discussion about the award. There's some feelings about the award that we got. And we do discuss it in here. But I do want to point out that we are very thankful and do see it as an honor. But you'll hear our, it'll be interesting for you to hear our thoughts about the award from the other cast members and such. And I've actually talked to some other people about it. So it's, it's interesting. So it's something to get in there and, think about as you, when we bring it up. I don't want to spoil it. Anyway, also one more thing. A couple more things. Newly launched is a way for you to be a supporter of the Black and a Half podcast and even our other projects that we do. You can become a patron of Black and a Half via the Patreon website. And, support starts at just $8 a month. $8 a month, you know, that's less than any movie that you listen to or watch. You know, you get your monthly pass at a movie. We're bringing you hours of entertainment every month. We're really committed to making this a regular weekly show, and this will help make that possible. There are costs involved in the show, so if you want to come on, be a supporter, you can get the exact link at blackandahalf.com/support. Go to that site and you'll find the link to our Patreon page. It's under Black and a Half. And become a supporter. There's different levels. If you want to get like exclusive episodes that we're going to be doing, you know, there's a higher level. And then I think we have three levels on there right now. We got to come up with more stuff, honestly. We're going to come up with more incentives for you to become at each level. But once right now, I just want to get the promise out there of doing this weekly, bringing you the entertainment that you deserve from that perspective of two people of color, two blurreds, whatever you want to call us. I want to get that to you so regular, and then we'll start adding in more incentives for there. And, you know, of course, if you sign up now, we're going to grandfather you in so that you get stuff that's added in later. You might even get extra things, you know, because you're one of the founding. That's what we should do. I should make that a limited number of. I'm gonna make a limit to how many people can be a founding Patreon member, and then, everyone else after that won't get some of the perks that you do. I gotta think about that. Figure out how to make it work. But we should. Let's see. And also, another way that this show is made possible, thank you to Skyline Properties. We usually get to use their space. We didn't need it for this one, but, thank you. For those of you that don't know, my day job is as a real estate agent in the Seattle area. So if you are looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Seattle area, hey, Tacoma to Marysville, that's what I say. Go ahead, go to silasgetsreal.com and, send me a message and, we can get that started for you. And of course, making my living during the day, doing that enables me to produce more, podcast films, all that sort of stuff. So, you get something, you need a house, and I get something that I need money to make entertainment for you. So it's a win-win. It's a win-win-win, as Michael Scott would say. Okay. So thank you so much for tuning in. We also, now that we're on Patreon and we changed the servers for this podcast, if you're on iTunes, you may have to update your subscription. I'm not sure. I'm going to see how it works. But we're now available everywhere. iHeartRadio, radio.com, TuneIn. It's everywhere, and I'm getting better stats already after just 2 days of this. We're now on Spotify, so you can listen to us on Spotify, though we don't get money for your listens on there. That's an interesting thing. I get money from, like, you know, I get 1/16 of a penny when you listen to one of the songs from my parody album, but nothing from this. That is interesting, but hey, I'm just glad to be on there and make it more ways for you to listen to this show, bottom line. And I have some thank yous to give right here. We're gonna pause this a second. All right, so we have some people that we need to thank for your support for the 48-Hour Film Project Indiegogo fundraiser. You helped make that film possible, and we want to thank you, as we promised you from the rewards that you entered. So I want to thank the following people: Casey Rom, Stefan Ward, Reed DeGuer, I'm getting that last name wrong, I'm sorry, Shannon Moulton, Kurt Ricketts, Rochelle DeBell of DeBell Productions, she's been on the show, Dexter Morgan, Keith Nagel, we've been friends for so long, and I never say your name out loud. That's actually probably the first time. I was just at Keith. Scott Ward, Dylan Cole, Laugh Tech Northwest, they've been on here. You got to go back and listen to that episode. They're awesome supporters of us in general. Karen and Julian Sibley from American Pacific Mortgage. Tracy Oliverio. Oh my gosh, Tracy, you were a wonderful old acting friend of mine from college, and she supported this. And of course, and Latisse Martin. Thank you so much for your support on the 48-Hour Film Project. I know, just reading that list, felt it's like Schindler's List. It's like Lindenstein's List. Save these people. But you all made this possible, and big shout out to you for donating to the film. And you know, I can't wait for you to see it. We have a few more tweaks to make to it. So some of you saw it at the live podcast recording, but we have a couple sound tweaks that we just want to make, just to put a little button on it, and then we'll release it to the general public to watch. So you'll get to see it soon and see your name on the big screen or the little screen. I don't know the size of your computer or phone. Anyway, here we are, episode number 71, Black and a Half Live at Laughs Comedy Club.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
All right.
First off, thank you guys for being here. Make some noise for yourselves.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. Really appreciate it. This is weird. This is almost like a Comic-Con format right now.
Yeah,
I feel like we just saw our movie at Emerald City Comic-Con. Yeah, we're the panel. This is wonderful.
My acting wasn't as bad as I thought.
Yeah, there you go. I know.
When
they announce the awards for it, they don't tell you what you've won. So you show up. Despite whatever it is you won. So it could have been best actor, could have been best film, best writing, all these different things. So what we ended up winning was they renamed an award called the Open 48. And it is it's basically a diversity award. We had a finely crafted film. And we happened
for
to be
a black team.
A finely crafted film, and we were a group made up of people of color and primarily women. And that was so.
I'll take it. I don't give a
shit.
This
is funny. Yeah, no. So it was an award, and I was like, when I got it, I went back to my seat and I said, "We got the affirmative action award."
That was,
the great.
You know, it reminds me of when Adele and like Beyonce were going against each other, and like Beyonce had this phenomenal album, and they fucking gave it to Adele. Not that I don't love Adele, but I'm just saying Beyonce had a phenomenal fucking album.
Well,
that's a hard one.
And there were a lot of great films there. And I did honestly feel like our film was up there with the solid ones. And I could see why the best picture of the 48 won it. Like it deserved it. It was a great film.
Who won?
It was called The Last Game.
Okay.
And it was a family film. And I loved it. The cinematography was incredible. Like honestly. Like, I found out later, they've been doing filmmaking for a really long time, and I always do the 48s, because I'm watching, and I was like, they cheated. No way. They had this all planned out. Yeah. No way someone could come up with all of this
they wrote
in
a script,
one night.
Like, way before that.
Right, but, from talking to other people, they probably didn't. They're just really good, and once you do this every year, you learn a little trick. So, we get all those requirements. What I didn't finish telling you guys was So you get it at 7 o'clock on Friday, and then Sunday at 7 o'clock, you have to turn in a finished film. And so you have to have shot it, edited it, everything that goes into a film. It's a way you should never make films, ever, but it's also a way I think everybody should make a film. Everybody should do this at least once.
There you go.
And, 2 years. So I was I didn't want to talk about that award because I was like, I was half like, My daughter turned to me. My daughter was Sierra. She was the little devil type character in red.
In real life too.
The kid, yeah, mm-hmm. In real life.
Why don't you smile, Mr. J? Smile, Mr. J.
She was stabbing people with like play knives on the set. It was crazy.
She asked me. She said, "How do you feel about that award?" I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad to have been honored, but I also don't want.
You know, like.
You don't want the participation trophy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I was like, wait, we got it because we're black?
Can we?
But, right. You know, we weren't the only black team, though.
I just have to interject and say, what a smart kid, though. Like, how nice to have, like, your kid be like, how do you feel
about
that? Yeah,
she had
the real
parent moment in that.
Like, that's pretty awesome.
Son, how do you feel?
That's pretty awesome.
About that shit.
Yeah. And I was like, I was mixed. I asked her, well, what she thought. And she said, well, I don't want to have got it because I was just born this color. I don't want that to be the reason I got the award.
Good life lesson, though.
Yeah. And so I was talking to somebody afterwards, and I was saying, like, telling him how I felt about it. And, you know, he brought up some good points about, like, you know, it was a fine film, in their opinion. They still liked it. And, you know, I guess, you know, on the podcast, I joked with that, the producer of the 48.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I actually said on the podcast, I just want to get the best black film
award.
And
then award.
he made one.
Yeah. Should just been like, I just want the best.
Yeah.
We probably would have got that.
I mean, how do you feel? Does it feel, do you understand it was an honor? Like, it was still an honor. Like, not everyone won an award.
All right, survey real quick. The other three black people in here, how would you feel about that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of feel some sort of way. How would you guys feel? Don't want to answer that shit?
You earned it. It was a great film.
Okay, I feel like we earned it. But at the same time, it's like, I guess you wouldn't have won an award. If they didn't create that award, but at the same time, it does.
Well, I think
like
they've had it. They just kind of renamed it the Open 48, and I don't remember who won it last year. I feel like it was a film full of, I think last year was an all female team. I'm not positive about that.
I do feel like they're gonna listen to this podcast and they're not gonna give us shit next year just for like saying this. Even if we have the best, like we could have an X-Men movie and they probably wouldn't.
No, like I.
Right. Samantha Rund is currently on a vacation right now. Filling in for her is. Also, yeah. Silas Lindenstein.
No, you know what? I would say though. I'm proud of you guys because I would say you wrote like majority of the script and like you took a chance on me, like new actor. That was like my first real big role, and like I'm just surprised that I didn't like mess this up more than you know it was. But
yeah,
it was great. It turned out like I was nervous. I need to do a few more abs for the film. You know what I mean? I didn't feel like I was my sexiest that I could have been. But it was dope. It was good.
Well, we
nobody was looking
scene.
At your abs.
Yeah,
yeah, like,
I was like, when's the love making sense?
Nobody was looking at your abs. You're looking at your bloody hands.
You're always worried about how do my abs look? And like, we're not doing a naked movie. Like
Silas has done one of those.
X-rated. Yeah.
Exactly. Silas did a love scene, didn't you?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
Yeah. I mean, it was... Well, it wasn't for a film. It was for this like
STD
okay,
commercial.
Yeah, no. It's like in Georgetown, like Georgetown University, they were doing this like doctor. They were doing this like STD prevention thing, and so I was one of the people. Like, it only airs there, so I am the face of HIV, both straight and gay. about like how to be careful when you know like if you are HIV positive and want to date somebody and all the tips. Now we had to act it all out, but they took stills. For some reason they were doing stills the whole time, but we had to do the whole scene.
I didn't know any of this.
Yeah,
I just wonder what the casting was like. He looks very like sickly. I don't know. Is that what they did?
Well, it's funny, and this is why I shouldn't even be like bothered about the diversity award is because. Like, I'm pretty much cast right now because they want ethnically ambiguous people. And that's why I get it. Like, I don't even have to audition sometimes. They're just like, yeah, him. We don't know what he is. Bring him on in.
It's like, the craziest thing, too. It's like, so in February, we have this, we're doing the Northwest Black Film, or what is it, Northwest Black
Comedy Festival.
And they were, like, trying to hit me up. They were like, oh, we just saw that you're black, but your buddy is, like, not. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like half black. You know, his mom's like Rastafarian and shit. And they literally, like, we had to, like, clarify. It's almost like we had to send a birth certificate. Like,
right.
They Obama'd my guy. Like, what the fuck was that?
Seriously.
Yeah.
We have one person in the universe tries to pass off as black, right? Yeah. And now everybody, thank Rachel Dozzle, whatever her name is. Remember when everyone was trying to pass as white?
Yeah.
And now I'm like, please take me. I
need a place.
Black and also there was I believe there was a Native American team.
Oh nice.
There was a East Indian team.
Okay.
They were an Amazon team, but it was
they had money.
They do. So and there was an all female. They actually won an award, the all female awesome. team. Though it is funny, like as soon as they started announcing what the award was for diversity, I put my phone down to get ready to get out because I'm looking around going, well, it's not any of these folks, so I guess that's us.
I don't know. I just have such mixed feelings about it, which nobody could tell by my face. Yeah. It like on one hand, yes, it's nice to get recognized and to get awarded, and their heart was probably in the right place. But on the other hand, it feels kind of like, why are we being singled out for being diverse?
Last year we won best use of prop. So,
well, yes, but that's very clear.
Right, right.
That's a clear parameter that is in the 48.
Right, but we could have had a sucky movie except for the prop, right? Like, that's true. This one, like, they weren't going to, I don't think they would give it to us if they're like, well, this is a bad film, but.
No, I don't like, I don't, yeah, no, like, I, again, like, thank you for the award, whoever gave it to us and everything like that. It's just, it's one of those things where it's frustrating to be put into a different category. Yeah. Do you know, like,
I do worry that the producers would feel like, well, geez, we can't win. We try to help black people. They don't want it. Fine. I'm voting for Trump. You guys can't appreciate anything. Yeah.
No, I'm appreciative. But, you know, it's just the whole process within itself. It was, this was the first, like, full 48, you know, that I did. And just to see all the time and effort that goes into it, just, like, really appreciative of not even just, like, the people behind the scenes, are donors, you know what I mean? Everybody who contributed, like, that meant the world, you know? And I'm not going to lie, like, I'm an emotional dude, and I got, like, choked up. I was like, man, people I haven't, like, talked to in, like, 20 years donated.
Aww.
And they're just like, I was
that's
like,
really
shit,
sweet.
You know?
And you're like, I should talk to them.
I probably. Should, yeah. You know what I mean? So I was like, all right, let me make a phone call. But, yeah, I was like, I called my mom at work. She's like, are you all right? I'm like, oh.
Wow, you
right
haven't talked to her in 20 years?
Well, no. You left me? No.
And I get the message, my mom, you know, Manny's mom donated, but you, I don't know, mom, you forget my number? I don't know. But we do have, actually, have Julie and Karen Sibley up front. They donated to the film. They're up here.
Thank you so much.
They're my favorite mortgage lender. Go to them. If anyone needs a house.
Hopefully
your
only one.
Okay.
Yep.
And also, Laugh Tech is here. Laugh Tech, where they were donors to the film over here. They're Laugh Tech. You want to bring them into your office? It's about like they teach you how to bring humor into business and to, you know, to de-escalate, to be better business people, right? Teaching better business people and dealing with clients.
Man. Yeah.
That way, you don't have to just bring me in to make fun of everybody, right? So
just roast in the office. Exactly,
and we have other secret donors here too. So, big thanks to everybody who donated, whether you're here or listening.
Yeah, it's been time. I mean, shout out to even Derek in the back. Make some noise for my guy Derek back there. He only could be there for like a few hours, but he spent time going over lines with me. Then you know what I mean. He always just pops in, set up this, you know what I mean. And
there's a lot of parts of a film that I don't appreciate until I'm on set and I need.
Yeah.
Like you just need that one person just to, you know, the little clapboard to start a scene. Like you have to have somebody do that, and it's or the background to make it feel like it's a real party.
I didn't realize how much you needed to keep in order, like the audio clips and the film clips, you know what I mean? Like just marking it down and realizing everything that goes into it. So, I mean, we had a great crew. And
And then, so this is the third time, and this is the first time you two watched it.
Yes.
Samantha, okay. How do you feel? Sorry, I do have to say, not to backpedal, but actually I'm thinking now about everybody who was on set and the award. And actually, you do have a talent for bringing a really great group of people together. So, I mean, there is that too. Like, I'm so torn about it. Still, Samantha Rund on vacation. This is Silas Lindenstein. Unless if you agree with me, in which case I'm taking all of the credit. No,
how did you feel seeing it for the first time?
Oh, my goodness.
What's it like? Do you get to see yourself on it? I mean, this isn't a big screen, but it's bigger than, bigger than this.
Yeah, I have seen myself on the big screen a couple of times, but I have to say it's always extremely uncomfortable to watch it with a room full of people. I need to be alone by myself to really like relax. So it was very nerve-wracking, but also it was very exciting because I'm watching it with you guys and, you know, it. And then it was just so fun to see, because like for this, I was way more of the process than I normally am whenever I'm acting, you know? So
Samantha was one of the writers on it.
Yeah, it was really fun to see like how everything came together, what the cuts were like.
How much of it did you remember before watching it? I mean, it was only a couple of weeks ago, but it was a long day. Like, did you have any idea what made it and what didn't?
I remembered most of it, but there was some filming that I wasn't there for. And then I was really curious which of the ad lib cuts would make it in.
Yeah.
So, with the barbecue scene especially. Yeah. So, you know, but just like Manny, like I wasn't looking at my abs, but I was definitely looking at the back of my hair. And I'm just like, why didn't I see the back of my hair before this? Like, why did nobody just come up and trim it for me? Why didn't we curl it under? I could not enjoy any time I was on screen with my head turned.
Okay.
It was very horrible. It was like, I don't like seeing myself on camera. It's very disturbing. Okay, it's not very disturbing. It's just not a pleasant feeling for me. So when you're like, why didn't you come? Well, I couldn't because I had to practice for stuff. But like, you know, but then it's generally like,
were you nervous watching? I mean,
I was nervous mostly because in this industry, I'm what you call a bad actor. You know what I mean? So just seeing the beauty of being able to chop the film, you know what I mean? And like, they find the best takes.
Well, you don't have to be a great actor for like 7 minutes straight. One take. You don't have to be good for one take.
Robert Downey Jr. says, fuck scripts. You know what I mean? So it's like, hey man, it was cool.
Lots of paper cuts.
Yeah, seriously. So it's like, seeing it for the first time, I thought it was going to be like way worse, you know, just because of me. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was nervous. I have a hard time watching myself anyways. Like, I don't even watch my stand-up clips. Like, it could be a phenomenal set, but I hate my voice and I don't like watching it. You know what I mean? For some reason. But this was good. Yeah, this was... I'm ready for a Marvel movie. Disney, if you're listening.
You're like, I'm a horrible actor. Disney, hire me.
Disney, we can make magic. He's got the fan. There's like 3 black superheroes left out there. I want to play one.
Awesome.
Right.
Okay, well, that's great. We're going to have this like speed through guest today because we got to bring on another guest now. But thank you, Samantha, for dropping in and talking with us. Big hand for Samantha Rund, everybody.
Thank you.
We're going to bring up our next guest of ours. He is a local comic in town. He's headlined this place before, but he's why we're bringing him on is he has just published his first comic book has been published.
Yes.
He's the author of Just Us Cops. Please put your hands together and welcome Thomas Nichols, everybody.
Yeah.
What up,
Thomas? Welcome.
What's going on?
Just Cops. So, like, I feel like
I'm
on.
How we doing?
Here we are on the camera. I'm on the Late Show.
Where's the camera at?
There's no camera.
Oh, okay. I'm always to the camera. Like, where's the camera at?
You should always pretend you're on camera. Nowadays.
You are on camera.
Just Us Cops. So it's not a title that I expect from a black artist.
I know, right? That's the great thing about it, man. That's the great. I always want to go like on the edge of what is like not the best idea and then make it the best idea ever.
Well, tell us about Just Us Cops. What's your pitch?
Well, it's a buddy cop comedy where they pretty much go around and arrest old cartoon characters. That's pretty much it. I like cartoons so much, I figured, like, what happened when as a kid, I always wondered what happened when TV went off, like, or the show got canceled. It just went away. It just disappeared. Like, what did Sylvester do afterwards? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Is he, like, doing drugs now? Possibly. I don't know. He's selling catnip. What's going on? Like,
so sick, are the baby buddy cops, are they protagonists? Are they the good guys? Or are they...
Yeah. The thing was, like, they came later. These cops came later. This started, like, the idea was... Mainly, this is the second issue. The first issue was mainly a pig that went and robbed a bank, but he was a piggy bank, so they put the money in his bag, and that was the and that was the whole idea. I didn't know. I had cops in there chasing him to like a house or whatever, but that was like the end of it. I didn't know what happened, so that idea just sat there for a while. I just left it in the computer and I just left it there, and then I was like, I wonder what. And me and my mentor was on the road. We were doing shows together in Dallas, and we was traveling, and we were sitting there. I told him we should do like a buddy cop comedy or something together. That'd be cool to do it. And we come up with names and stuff like that. We trying to figure it out, and then we stopped being on the road, and we went back to the house. We on Twitter talking about it. Just right there. The whole tweet is still there. It's like years ago, but it's there. We just tweeting about it, and we came up with the idea of us just go around, and we like cartoons a lot. We talk about the Venture Brothers and stuff like that.
So somebody could have stole the whole idea off Twitter.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Wow. For sure. Okay.
All
right.
And they just missed all of it. I was like, you know what? And my mentor stopped doing stand up.
Really? Okay.
He stopped doing stand up maybe like, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago. Wow. He stopped doing it. And I was like, man, I want to write something so funny that it would get him back into stand up again.
Nice. Yeah.
Something that, and I remember us talking about the buddy cop comedy, and I remember having that pig sketch in there, and I added them in there, and then bam, that's how the first book came about, and I just went running with that. But I always wanted to do a comic book. I always thought it'd be cool to do it. So, yeah.
So is this self-published or?
Yeah, self-published. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Is it challenging to get comic book shops to carry it or?
Not so much. It's fun for me to go in there and see because I always wanted to see I always want to know what they do how they get the books in there. Like, uh-huh. Do they have to? I always thought you had to order it. You actually don't have to. Oh, okay. But comic book store don't have to order the book. You can literally take this in there. And like, I have a book awesome. Right here. Is it possible we can get it on your shelf? Some bookstores are like, we got to go through a publisher. You got to order it and all stuff. And some are like, yeah, we're definitely down to put it up. How much you want to sell it for? Or they buy some off of you and they ask you like how much you willing to sell it to us for and how many copies do you have, stuff like that. And I always enjoy doing that portion, uh-huh. like going in there and seeing what it takes to get on the shelf, because I always want to know, like, you get a chance to actually pitch the book. Mm-hmm. So they know what the book is about. They know all the information about the book. It's kind of like dropping off your kid right. to a babysitter. Like you want to know what that babysitter is going to do with the kid. Like, you right. know, yeah. you don't want to just drop them off. Like, I'm going to work and never like talk to the people that's watching your kid.
First kid. Third kid. You're like, you'll take them.
Yo, good.
Okay. Yeah. yeah. We'll
You've
be
been
back.
Here before. We've been here before. You try to find the same babysitter every time. You've been here before. Your sister's to the one I was with before. Okay, cool. You're good. But yeah, that's, and they know what the book is about. So if a customer come up to them and ask what this book is about, they know everything about it because I talked to them about it already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if anything, they know all the information is right on the back of the book. They can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and just ask me about the book and stuff like that. So that was the idea of just being self-publishing, being able to drive around, see all these comic book stores. And I'm buying comic books as well, yeah. which is dope. You know what I mean?
Are you going to be trying to get to Emerald City Comic Con?
Yes, actually, I am. Yeah, okay. yeah. I'm trying to make that happen.
Okay, because I personally love going and finding comic books by the artist there, like whether it's the artist or the writer. I love doing that. I buy almost every, when there's a black artist they're selling, I pretty mm-hmm. much, I buy their mm-hmm. book. I find one that's at least appropriate for my kids so they'll gotcha. Look at it too. But I do that. So that's great. I hope to see you there. It's funny. When I would do nerdy shows, people would tell me like, oh, you got to book Thomas. And I was like, I don't think I've ever heard you say a nerdy joke. But I see you always dressing in like Marvel something. Yeah. And so then I was like, oh.
I don't just joke about something like, I'm serious about,
just
man.
To prove that, I'm so nerdy, I wrote one, okay? Like we gotta get you on.
I had to prove it. That was what's crazy.
Yeah?
I always felt like I never had to prove this shit. I was just, you know, we just having a conversation.
Well, some people will tell me like, oh, I've been asked by... But people are like, oh, can I do your Real Nerds at Comedy Show at Comic Con? I was like, oh, but do you, you're a nerd? And they're like, well, I could write something. Like, well no, that's not what it is. It's like, you're going to go talk to your people.
I
like,
went 100% to Comic Con before.
Somebody had to kick the shit out of you in school. Yeah, if you yeah, wanted. You need yeah, certification need, like that.
Yeah. It'd be like asking me to go, like, hey, Silas, go perform at this, you want to do this NHL function? Like, sure, yeah. Yeah, I'll do that. I love.
Is it cold?
Ice.
In there?
Yeah.
Just talking about how cold it is.
So now, were you a comic book fan growing up?
Yeah, for
sure. What were the comic books that you were into?
The first comic book I actually got was Wolverine's. I don't remember the issue because it was so long ago. Right. And then I got into Starship Troopers.
Oh,
that
okay.
was the next one that I got into.
Oh, that's a comic book series.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
It's been on forever,
man.
It's been going. It actually still might be going on now. I think Dynamite picked it up.
Okay.
I think. But yeah, that was the first two that I actually got, you know what I'm saying? And then I got into, and then I stopped for a long time. And then I picked back up when I saw 28 Days Later. which became, like, it's a horror movie.
Wait, that's a comic book too?
Yeah, man.
Oh,
and
damn.
It bridges the two together.
We're
two
not as nerdy
together.
As we thought we were. Oh,
that's by Boom. They did that, and that's amazing.
I've always said my thing with comic books is always just the economics of it for me, because I would be like, I'd have to drop $3 on it, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'd be done in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, now I don't have, I could go, then I could, at the time, I could buy, this is how old I am, I could buy a book for like $4.50.
I got you.
And that'll take me
forever,
you know, weeks, right? So like economically, I would get them whenever I could get like a quarter book. So I never had like, there was never like a series I could get into for a long time because I would just have these random one-offs.
Yeah.
Well,
you got to find one of those series that bridge off of something else that you like.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Shadow Man is like my favorite superhero of all time. And it's basically, the game got me into it. There's a game based on it. I played the game first. Didn't know nothing about the comic book. Game's one of my favorite games ever of all time. Greatest story ever. Didn't know anything about a comic book until like later on. And I was like, there's a comic book series? And then I went all the way back to, I think, 89, actually, when I was born. And it was a comic book series that started that day, those years. And I found every single one of them.
So
I went to New York to get some. I went to Dallas to find a bunch of them. I went all over the place to collect every single one of them. So I have all the books now.
So let me ask you this. Like, creating content, like how many episodes or how many, I guess, issues are you in now?
Right now, I'm writing issue 3 right now. I'm
going
to end up putting 4 issues out next year.
Okay.
But I'm choosing different artists for each issue.
Like
This book does not look like the first book at all. The first book was drawn by a woman named Wren Kelly.
Okay.
I believe is her last name. I forgot her last name. I'm sorry. But she did an amazing job on that. She was the first artist that I found when I got here. Maybe I moved here 2 years ago. So 6 months in, I met her, and we started writing on the book. And then after that, I put that out. And that was only digital copies, because that book is like 32 pages. I'm not paying for that. That's a lot. That's a lot of pages to print out. So I ended up, after having that done, I was trying to figure out what would be the next issue. She got signed to Universal, so she couldn't draw for me anymore.
Mm.
And I was like, all right, cool. Well, I got to find somebody else. So I ended up going just to Facebook and just made a post. And I got all these portfolios in. I had this story already written. And I was like, I got to find an artist. And they sent me all these portfolios. And I looked at all of them. Like, they're so good, I can't just pick one.
Right.
So I'm just working with all of you guys. That's what I'm ended up doing. So now I just write the story, find the artist that fits that story perfectly, or at least close to it. As close as I will enjoy and like it, and then work with that person and offer him a price. If he takes the price, cool. If not,
that's
keep
awesome.
Going, you know what I mean? Or try to get the money to do it. I think that I think the fact that these artists come up with these, I just send them a script. Like this dude, Inui, he drew this. He's out of Argentina. He drew this within not even 6 months. It was probably like a month and a half, maybe.
Wow.
And that's what the changes I had to tell him to make. And then we had to translate the script from English to Spanish so he can do it. So he understand the story. And then he typed all the words. So we had like some of the spelling and stuff was a little messed up just based on the fact that, you know, he's in Argentina. He doesn't know too much English. But it was great to be able to have that experience with that person. You know what I mean?
Is there a Spanish version of this?
No, but I plan on making one.
Okay.
Not this one, specific one, but any other ones that come forth. Yeah, I definitely want to do a Spanish one. I think it'd be cool.
I feel like this is game changing. I mean, as far as like comics, like selling stuff after shows, you know?
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, like comic book.
Like, yeah, I was going to make an action figure, you know what I mean? But it
that sounds dope.
It would have been amazing, but like we looked at the price of it and I was like, no, there's no way I can make my money back on that shit. So
I was saying we just need to go find like black action figures, like flea markets and just put like a Manny Martin t-shirt on it.
You just make every single one black. Just dip it in black
paint. That's true.
Captain America can be black.
There you go.
Iron Man, just a black red suit, just a black head, just dip him in the paint. It'd be great.
With the goatee looking
like goatee.
You.
Yeah. We can do
people
that.
Like it, like in Seattle, especially. You'll call it reclaimed action figures, right?
Right.
It's reclaimed, man. They're like, oh, it's environmental. It's great.
A cease and desist from Disney. This would be great. Oh God.
What are you into now? Like, what is there anything
issue
comics? Comics in general. Like, what's your big? Like Walking Dead is huge, right? But like, I don't read it because it's way ahead. I don't want it to ruin anything coming out. Like, that's the worst, getting spoiled on something like you're just trying to become knowledgeable about it. They're like,
I never got into the. I mean, I watched. Okay, this is my thing about TV series. I know this is off topic, but I never follow TV series. I watched like 3 seasons of The Walking Dead. I was like, this is a good show. I'm not going to watch it anymore. I just drop it. Like, I get rid of it. I'm like, this is a great show. I got to go to work. I can't be in here on time every day. I got to get up. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's one of those things. Though. Like, so if I just wait till it to finish.
If you get it, done, like if you go in and just watch it while in its heyday when everybody's loving it.
Yeah, it's
like,
great.
You know what? I'm going to quit now. Then you don't have to be disappointed to see the last season.
Those 3 seasons were great.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened afterwards. I have no idea. Rick is gone now, if I remember correctly. He's gone. I don't know where he went. He just disappeared. He was dope. But yeah, I don't. And when it comes to the comic books, that was the thing. Like, I try to find something that's not on TV, that can't be ruined or have any of that kind of dynamic. And if they have a movie for the comic book, cool. I'm with it. You know what I mean? I watched the movie, and that might get me more inspired to read the comic books to get more details about the character. It's a faster way to get more details about the character instead of buying all the books and then trying to figure if you like this person or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So series that I'm into now, I mean, I'm always into Punk Mambo, which this is the thing, another thing.
Punk Mambo?
She's a voodoo priestess in New Orleans, and she branches off of Shadow Man, which is cool. Like, the characters that I could watch in
Shadow Man,
now,
wasn't he in Princess and the Frog?
Yeah, and that's another voodoo movie. The whole series is revolved around voodoo.
Okay.
And there's not many series like that anymore. This voodoo is dying out, and it's pissing me off.
Voodoo is cool, man. Voodoo. The voodoo that you do.
Topics. I'm a horror movie. Like, I love horror movies, and voodoo is one of the genres that isn't touched at all. So when I picked up Shadow Man, and it was nothing but voodoo and stuff like that, I was like, this is great.
Wait, does hoodoo fall in that category?
Hoodoo.
Is that not a made up word?
Say,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I saw
that's
it.
Shit. Yeah. Like, that was like my family, my mom's side of the family, they were into that hoodoo shit. Yeah. It was like,
I thought that was just like scatting, like hoodoo that you do. I never knew that was an actual thing.
Rhyme right now?
Hey, they're getting checks, so we got to get our last guest up here. Like, okay. All right. Hey, Thomas, thank you for stopping in. We're going to have you on the regular full length episode, too.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. So check out Just Us Cops. If you have copies.
Oh, actually, you can just download it on the back of my website at tncomedy.net. You just download it right on your phone. It costs $10. And you download both of them on your phone for $10 a piece right there.
So you can get follow him on Instagram and all social media.
TN Comedy. That's it. Gotcha.
Awesome. Thanks for coming by. Thomas Nichols. And then we're going to bring up our musical guest, Champagne Honeybee. Going to talk to her real quick.
Yeah,
Champagne Honeybee. Right? You're still there.
It's date night and you're a wreck, so nervous and confused. Then your date politely says that he needs to be excused. Now you're asking yourself, is this a hookup, or is it something more? You finally get your answer when you are past the bathroom door. When he poops with the door open, you know that it's love. True romance unspoken, it's what you've been dreaming of. You know you're in for a special treat every time he takes a seat. No more wishing and hoping when he poops with the door open. Yeah, baby, yeah. Though it may take some time, there is no clearer sign.
And hoping when he poops with the door.
That's not my real name.
So, okay, you debuted the song tonight. What's it called? What's the title of it?
The working title has just been the most romantic song I've ever written.
Okay. Now
it's accurate.
It's real love, though.
Yes.
It's about pooping. I actually can't cross that line. I feel like that I know plenty of people that talk to their partner while pooping, right? But I can't. I'm like, no, I feel like if we do that, there's no, you know, I already got enough working against me. Like, you can't.
Wait, let's take a survey real quick to the audience out there. How many, like, I like we can't, I don't open the door on me if I'm taking
nodding.
A dump. You know what I mean?
I saw nodding like, when she was saying
wait, so,
like, yeah.
Okay, wait. So have you seen your significant other in the bathroom taking a dump?
Or do you just not? Do you just leave the door open? Door open?
I gotta have the door closed. That's me. I'm just, you know what I mean. You could talk to me through the door, but it just don't see me. You know what I mean? Let's still have some sort of
my romance. Dad and stepmom. They would talk. We used to have. We lived in this old frat house. Like, so there was like the bathroom had like four sinks and there were three toilet stalls and they all had doors. And my stepmother would sit outside talking to my dad. All these crap, and I was like, "This is insane! Oh. Stop it! I don't even want to walk in here knowing someone else is going to the bathroom."
There are some people that are just okay with the smell, and like we used to have this guy at one of the comedy clubs that I worked at, and he was, you know, the bathroom door like attendant and everything, and he would sit in there and eat ice cream while. I was like, "See, how do you?" It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Brooke on Brooke and Jubal in the Morning. She talks about that. She eats in the bathroom.
Oh, really?
I cannot bring a glass of water.
No.
In.
Yeah. No,
like I can't cross the boundary. I will literally set it on the floor, then walk into the bathroom like a cup of water.
I try my hardest to make sure that I never bring even like groceries into the bathroom. You know, when you're at the grocery store or Target. I mean, I just the thought of food being in the bathroom,
like,
the
why
germs
would you bring
that
food
float
in the
around when you flush the toilet, the germs just go everywhere.
I can't think about that. We have too much out.
Yeah. So to be honest. I wrote the song because I was in a relationship and we had just moved in together. I think it had been not even a week. And I walked past the bathroom door and there he was sitting there. And I asked him, I was like, are you pooping? And he's like, yep.
Man.
And I was just like, shut the door. Like, I have to be honest. I personally do not poop with the door open or want my significant other to poop with the door open. But I just felt like, wow, I feel like we crossed this milestone in our relationship. We just got our first place together. He's pooping in front of me.
Like not even a week.
You know, yeah,
like
not even
a
week.
Few months, right?
Yeah.
Because like there still might be that clause that they can back out of the lease or something. Right,
right, exactly.
Gotta wait some time.
You know, closed door policy there. I was shocked. And it was a really tiny apartment where the bathroom was literally just a few feet from the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh no, this is disgusting. But it inspired that song. So
there you go.
I mean, so with my significant other, that's a no-go, right? Mm-hmm. But of course my kids don't
babies.
Care.
Yeah.
Like they just walk, they open up the door. My house right now is a little Japanese sliding door. We don't even have a real, like it doesn't lock. So the little ones, the 18-month-old and 3, they just open it up and walk in. And start talking to me about like, they're like, can I watch Frozen? And I'm like, they can't turn it on. So it's not like, I'm like, no. And then the one just tries to headbutt me while I'm sitting there. And I'm like, no, just go away. Or he starts grabbing the toilet paper and like taking it away. I'm like, no, it's. So my kids, I pooped with all my kids around. But,
well, not with Gretchen, huh?
No.
There you go.
No.
All right. Yeah, I couldn't do that. Like me and the wife, we have that. Like, no booty action. No, none of that.
I even like going to the separate room that nobody goes near, right?
Right.
Like, no, we'll go to the laundry room bathroom.
Yeah.
Nobody ever goes in there. I want silence.
See, like, I used to be a sneaky, like, shitter, too. I would turn on the shower. You know what I mean? Right? She didn't even know I shit for, like, the first, like, three or four years we lived together. She's like, why are you always taking showers? I'm like, don't worry about it.
Three
times a day.
Would you do that thing where as the poop hit the water, you'd flush the toilet? Did you ever do that?
I do that as a courtesy, though.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Especially
courtesy
even at
flush.
Work, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I just take, okay, this was my theory, okay? If you take, this is, you know, you don't want to be on the toilet this long, but 30 minutes, right? If you spend 30 minutes, like, and you don't have one of those supervised jobs where nobody really cares where you're at, like, you do, like, 16 of those, you just took a day off of work. Boom. What? That's right. So,
paid vacation.
Yeah, paid vacation.
No, I do remember, if somebody I don't know is in the house, sometimes I'll turn on the water, the sink's right there, I'll turn that on. Right as it hits.
There you go. Yeah. We got an Alexa in the bathroom. You turn on Alexa, you just play some music, nobody even knows.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Have a special pooping playlist.
Yeah. a real shitty it's conversation.
Aggressive.
Yeah. How long have you been playing music?
Well, I've been playing music pretty much my whole life, but I started taking lessons formally when I was 6 years old. I started with piano lessons, then voice lessons in middle school. And I sang in choirs all through high school and college. But I was also writing songs as well. And then I actually picked up the ukulele in about year 2011, really only because it's so portable. Because obviously pianos are not that portable, unless I finally make my dream come true and get a keytar.
Oh, there you go.
Then I could just like walk as
taking
I rock.
It back.
Yeah, but until that happens, I'll just stick to the ukulele. But it's been really fun. It's been awesome. I've been able to travel with it. I got an endorsement. The uke I played up here tonight is a sponsored instrument from Lonnie Kai's. So nice. It really opened up my musical world. And like I said before, I wanted to be a comedian. You know, well, I guess I kind of sort of still am.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I mean, first
Manny
off,
knows.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I didn't know that you sounded that amazing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you killed it on that, like, both songs. I was like, shit, we need to get you an album.
Thanks, man.
But then it was like, I remember that, like, you did, like, what, one open mic or was it two?
I did one open mic in like 2011, and you hosted.
Yeah.
And I came up and sang.
Those were the most painful open mics, were they not? Like, parlor open mics are like, for those of you who never have been to these things, they were the shittiest open mics. It was
less people were there to watch them.
Yeah.
Right now.
So, like, yes. There were less people than are in here right now, right? So, like, and it was all comics. So nobody's paying attention to your shit. You go up, you talk, you know what I mean? And you try to tell your jokes, but no laughter whatsoever. It was just me in the corner laughing, just, you know, to motivate everybody.
My mom came.
Yeah, your mom was great.
Yeah, my mom was, I think, the true audience member.
Exactly, the only one.
Sherry Weatherby.
Yep, shout out to Sherry, man.
Sherry.
But, like, it's so funny to see just where careers go. And it's like, I'm, like, excited to see what the next chapter is. Do you have any albums out yet?
I have two EPs out.
Okay.
And I'm working on a full-length album right now. I still have a few songs to record. I not only write all my own songs, but I also arrange for my horn section. Ooh. And I'm also starting to arrange for strings. So this album will be very big, have a lot of big arrangements. It's kind of songs that I've been writing throughout my whole life. So some of those songs are, you know, almost 20 years old. And I'm hoping, I thought I could get it out this year, but everything always takes longer than you think it will.
So let me ask you this, like, would you ever go the route of like doing music for films?
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of my dreams, really.
Oh, no shit.
Is to write for films, get music.
We got our music person for the 48-hour film next year.
I was going to speak up about that. Okay. If you didn't say anything, I was going to say something about it. I would absolutely love to do that because I do love, when I was a child, my favorite thing, in movies, television shows, commercials were the music and jingles. I actually finally made a dream come true and wrote a radio jingle for Verity Credit Union that aired on Movin 92.5. So that was like a big dream come true last year.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Big. So let me ask you this. Where can our fans pick up your album or your EP?
Well, unfortunately, I no longer have CDs.
Okay.
But by the magic of MP3s, you can find my music anywhere digital music is sold, Spotify, iTunes, or Apple Music. And I also have download stickers. They're like download cards, except you get a sticker to keep as well with a download code on it. So you can download the MP3s. And so, yeah, you can talk to me about those, or you can just go online and honestly, if you search for Champagne Honeybee, I should pop up.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I did my research when I went to name my band. I wanted to make sure there was no other Champagne Honeybee. And thankfully, the only other Champagne Honeybee I found was a racehorse. And I don't think she's going to be dropping any albums anytime soon, so I think we're good.
Research is a good idea. Yes. Also, like, if you're going to name your podcast Black and a Half, you should check to see if there's another one already named Black and a Half.
We went through that shit.
Should you? Should we do that?
Huh? Oh, we did.
Oh, we did.
No, that's why I had to go get a trademark.
Oh, dear.
Someone else didn't research. But they're gone now. So, not because of me. Yeah. Not because of me. They yeah, died on their own. Shit. Like, so. Natural causes. But their podcast died, not them. Okay, I'm not that cruel.
I was about to ask who died, the black or the half. What happened there?
Thank you so much for coming on. One last thing to do is we got some prizes to give out to you folks for coming out. We do need to collect those if you fill them out. But thank you
thank
so
you.
Much, Champagne Honeybee, coming out. Big hand for her.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so we're going to give out. Is anyone back there, Derek or anybody? Hey, Derek, could you grab, he's our gopher.
Just on everything. Mind,
no one else. We can grab, the whole crowd, cards real quick, and we're going to. I got some prizes here to give away. Besides being the Seahawks opener and stuff, I hope you tip your waitstaff well, because it's actually Nicole's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
So. Make sure, if you didn't, throw down a couple extra. All right, awesome. Okay, so I'm gonna dig it. You shuffle those, Manny. Okay, we got some great prizes. Great prizes in here. Okay, Manny, who's the winner of this first prize?
All right, first winner. John the Reviewer.
John Viewer!
Boom.
Three zucchini.
Oh, snap.
Fresh from my garden.
Okay. Don't eat that shit. Don't eat that shit.
This is great. They were like cut yesterday. It's wonderful. Dude, a vegan won them, too.
There
Imagine
you go.
That.
Boom. Can you at least keep the bag, dude? I know, right? Seriously, does he
have to carry them? No, I want him to carry the zucchini around. I want to see if he'll get mugged for them. Even the homeless are like, don't stop giving me zucchini, seriously. Okay. Manny, who gets the next one?
All right, we have Brian Trendler.
Brian Trendler. Hey, Brian.
Oh, snap.
Aloha. You've won a aloe vera plant. This deals very well with neglect, so you'll do well with this. And also with the Well, you know what's going to help that
sunburns.
Burn? Aloe helps with burns, so you can use that. Thank you. Congratulations.
Yep, there we go.
It's a great. I always think it's good to have an aloe plant in your house. It's a very safe thing. Okay, we got
so
two more gifts.
He used to be a gangster, man. He killed like fools before like he got married. So
you know what gangsters should have?
What's that?
An aloe vera plant to
go.
Heal those burn wounds from the bullets.
Holes. Yep.
All right, we got two more gifts.
Two more? All right.
Yeah. We got
Yvonne McKenzie.
Yvonne McKenzie?
Yvonne McKenzie.
All right, Yvonne.
Oh, make some noise for Yvonne. There she
there
is.
There you go.
Thank you for coming out.
Yvonne, you've won an R2-D2 screwdriver set.
Oh, there you go, Yvonne. Killing it.
I hope you are a blurred. If not, blurred. I'm like the one not nerdy person, probably. The one. All right. And then this one. This
last
is
one?
This is the last one.
All right. We have Conrad Young.
Conrad.
There you go.
Okay. I feel like this makes up for her. She doesn't really like that. You've won two club seats to see the Sounders FC Dallas versus the Sounders on Wednesday, September 18th. Thank you. We'll do that.
There you go.
All right. Just need to message me, and we'll take care of the tickets for you there.
Yeah, don't let him slip on
it. Yeah, there's two tickets. You get those. If you're not a soccer fan,
sell them.
Oh, well.
Sell
right.
that shit. Sell
you
it.
If we're doing, it's the second to last game of the season. So if they're doing really well, they'll make money.
Make some
off
money
of
on
it.
That. There you go.
If they aren't,
yeah.
Oh well. Hey, thank you everybody for coming out to this live podcast on this Thursday night. We appreciate you. Again, big hand for Laughs for hosting us and having us here. And big hand for Manny for his world premiere.
Big hand for the two-time award-winning Silas Lindenstein. There you go.
That's Things we got black and a half?
Black and a half.
All right, we're out.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.